This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
During the time of hearing your word, may your spirit come and move us and open our hearts and our mind to remove the distractions. May we enter into a sense of worship as we hear your word. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned a Bible verse during our giving of thanks time, Philippians 1:6. I'll just read it here briefly. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I am thankful that God finishes what he starts. And I think we all, perhaps some more than others, have experienced the times when we've started something, committed to something, but never followed through. Just kind of backed out halfway through. Gave up. I'm thankful that God does not give up. God does not throw his hands up in the air and walk away. God finishes what he starts. Thanksgiving Eve is very special to me. Because it was last year, the first time I stepped into this pulpit, first time I ever stepped into a pulpit to preach. A lot has happened since then. I've experienced a joy I never thought existed, and I've experienced an anguish I've never thought existed. But that verse keeps coming to my mind. God finishes what he starts. And it's weird because as you grow in your walk with God, it's almost like, and I never liked this idea. I've heard it. It was hinted at in time, this idea that the more you grow in your walk with God, the more you grow in your walk with faith, the more you realize how much you're far from God, the more you realize how terrible you are. And I think, I always thought to myself, well, the Bible promises victory. And so I think when I'm, you know, obeying God and there's growth, there's victory there. But I can't escape experience. As you grow in your walk with faith, it's like you realize the closer you get to God, the farther you seem from him. And yet the sweeter the relationship. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. The closer you come to God and your sanctification and your walk of faith and this relationship is growing and you're growing in your relationship with God, and as you grow, you realize how far you are from God. It's a weird feeling. And yet, in that growth, it's a sweeter relationship. It's a more intimate relationship. He finishes the work that he starts. I have grown, especially in areas of personal devotion. Because week by week, coming before God, opening his word, and preaching is like stepping in front of a mirror and pointing out all the pieces of dirt that's all over your face. It's not easy. Last year, for my Thanksgiving Eve message, I preached from a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there briefly. I just want to revisit something that I said. 1 Thessalonians verse 5:18. If you remember, I spoke of the Lord's Supper and how the Lord gave thanks. He broke the bread and He lifted up the cup and He gave thanks. And I brought up this verse here that says, in everything give thanks. And the main point that I brought was that it says in all things. It doesn't say for all things. And I said how we as Christians can be thankful that in every circumstance we can give thanks, but we don't have to give thanks for everything. And I brought up the example, should we give thanks for Hitler and the Holocaust? And I said, no. Time went on, reading my Bible, turned to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. As our scripture reading said, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always, what? For all things, to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone is learning. Everyone is growing. And he who begun a good work will complete it. But what I said last year was not wrong. In fact, looking deeper into this verse, it actually upholds what I said even more. It actually upholds the truth that not everything in and of itself, by itself, in the thing, is something that we are to give thanks for. Taking this verse at its face value seems to say that. There are two ways to interpret this verse by looking at the word all. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Now that word things is actually not in the original. It was added. The original says giving thanks always for all to God the Father. And that word things was placed in there in reference to, you know, all things. And there's two ways to look at this. The first way is that the word all is actually referring to persons. It's referring to persons. The type of word that's used is referring to a group. And if you look at the surrounding verses there, look up at verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says what? Speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So one another, Christians, each other, the body of Christ is in mind here. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all. To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another. So the verse after and the verse before is talking about a group of people. So it is likely that that verse in saying, giving thanks always for all, we're giving thanks for one another. And that is vital. Because we need one another. We just heard a giving of thanks of how God used people to bring us to salvation. We just heard a giving of thanks of how God used each other to build one another up in the faith. So it is true that we are to give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters, because without which we need each other. If we were stranded on an island and there were no other Christians present, God's grace is sufficient. But there's a reason why the Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, as is the habit of some. There's a reason why the Bible says that, and that is because we need one another. It is because of other people and their faith in God that has been the means God has used to help me in my faith. And I'm sure everyone here can relate to that. But the second way that this all can be referring to is all things. Because I'm no Greek scholar, and my Bible says all things. And someone more instructed and knowledgeable and probably more on the mark than I am put that there for a reason. So the question is, can we be thankful for all things? Can we be thankful for everything? Can we be thankful for Adolf Hitler? Can we be thankful for cancer? Can we be thankful for starving children in third world countries? Can we be thankful for our sin? It depends. Thanksgiving always has a person in mind. You can't be thankful to an inanimate object. Thanksgiving always has a person in mind, whether it's one human being to another human being, or whether it's a human being to God. It always has a person in mind. So if I ask you, should you be thankful for Adolf Hitler? It depends on who you're being thankful to and why you're being thankful. If you're being thankful to Adolf Hitler for Adolf Hitler, you're absolutely wrong. If you're thankful to your tormentor for your torture, you're absolutely wrong. If you're thankful for the object itself, void of the person, then you're wrong. Who is the person in mind in this verse? When the Bible says, give thanks for all things, who is the person in mind? Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that as a Christian, everything God allows to pass in your life, He causes or permits for your good. Why? Because He who began a good work in you shall carry it on to completion. If you are thankful to God for His loving, chastening, gracious work in your life, no matter what it is, then you are right to give thanks for all things. So in one sense, last year's point can be upheld and says it's not the thing itself, in and of itself, without any reference to God that we are to be thankful for. Take the cross, for example. Are we to be thankful for the worst form of torture ever invented by the human race? Just take God out of the picture. Are we to be thankful for being nailed to a cross and suffering suffocation and torment? Absolutely not. It is absolutely wrong, and it will absolutely be judged by God in the day of judgment. What about evil inflicted by another person, whoever it is? Take God out of the picture, and does that thing in and of itself, is that something good in and of itself? Absolutely not. God will bring all things into judgment on the final day. Take sickness, bodily sickness. Take God out of the picture, and what do you have? You have the result of our bad choices. That's not good at all. We messed up really bad. But God steps in, and all of a sudden, God takes this evil, God takes this mess, God takes this sickness, and somehow, in some mysterious way that God knows and I don't know, in some mysterious way, He takes that and He makes something good. In some way, God takes a cross. And what does He make? He makes you and you and you and you here tonight giving thanks. God into the picture, and all of a sudden, in some mysterious way, these things, evil things, terrible things, hard things, difficult things, God takes and allows them to create something good. Why? Because he who began a good work in you shall carry it on to the day of completion. God takes the cross and he makes redemption come out of it. God takes the persecution and he makes a strengthening of faith come out of it. God takes the suffering and makes a dependence upon God come out of it. This is a privilege that we have. Somebody who is not born again is inflicted with these things, but they don't have that promise of God working all things together for their good. God may use those things to draw that person to themselves, to himself. But it is the privilege of those who are born again to enter into this weird experience, this blessed experience, this mysterious experience of seeing everything that is allowed into our lives, whether by our choices or whether by circumstances outside of our hands. God is able to take that thing and make something good about it and use it to strengthen us in our walk with Him. And so when we read James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And Paul in Romans 8, 28, you may turn there as we read this verse, if you'd like. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." In that sense, we can give thanks for all things. But the warning that was made last year, and the warning is made this year, is, brothers and sisters, don't make light of the evil things and write them off as being, you know, just look on the bright side, look positive, God is working all things together for good. The beauty of it is that God takes those things and works it together for good. That is the beauty of it. So in one sense, we shouldn't be thankful for all things because of the thing itself. But in another sense, and in the sense that you and I as a Christian have the privilege of only, is that we can be thankful for all things. Because of the thing, no, because of God, who has begun a good work in us, and He will carry it on till the day of completion, until the day when Christ shall return, and to the day when we exit this life and enter into the new, and we open our eyes to see the way that He worked. I talked earlier about the in-between time. That day we will open our eyes and we will see the in-between hand of a gracious God that took terrible things and used it in our lives for our good. And we will give Him thanks. We will give Him thanks on that day. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank You that Your Holy Spirit leads us into Your truth more deeply, more fully. So I pray, Father, that You would please lead us into Your Word that shows us how we can see Your grace and Your hand of mercy despite all that we go through. May that be an encouragement to us. May that be a means of our growth with You. May You carry us as sheep upon Your back, though we often wander. Your rod and Your staff comforts us. We thank You, Father God. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.